The Sean Salisbury Show continues now with the bench warmers. Here's Sean Salisbury.
What are you doing, Spirit?
Efforting.
Yep, efforting Ryan Ballinger, PGA Championship. Well, the fourth major just ended. Now I wonder how many guys will shut it down for the season. And we'll talk to him about Rory McIlroy's talked about shutting it down for the rest of the year. I don't blame him. Not a real good major run for Rory this year.
Was he had it? A tough year.
Yeah, he sure did. And I don't know. You know, one thing about Rory is he's an equipment changing guy. I know who doesn't like the cash, and I don't blame him. But Rory kind of does his thing and kind of beats to his own drum. So I wonder, you know, when he's going to settle back. And didn't he just recently get married, or did he get recently engaged? I know he was dating the tennis player, got rid of that one. Now he's either got a new girlfriend, engaged.
Yeah, he's engaged.
I believe, right?
Yeah.
So maybe he's starting to settle down a little bit. I don't know. He's so good. And for him not to really be in much contention for four majors, because he's one of those guys, you know, when you go through four or five guys you want to pick, he'll always be a guy that I always say, oh, Matt McIlroy, talented, long, can you know, bring a golf course to its knees, and when he's hot, can go low at any time. Yet he struggled this time around, in 2017. But we will talk to a guy who doesn't struggle, and he's got a great gig, and appreciate him joining us again. Ryan Ballinger, the golfnewsnet.com, joins us here on the Sean Salisbury Show at Ryan Ballinger, and that's B-A-2-L-E-N-G-E-E. Ryan, let's start with Justin Thomas. First major win, and I will start by this. Big personality, kind of an emotional dude, up and down with his emotions, but showed a lot of moxie, and a lot of people didn't think he'd have the patience to wait out a major and that his emotions would get the best of him. Pretty impressive for his first one, huh?
Yeah, really impressive. I think he probably felt buoyed by what happened on the 10th hole. I mean, he got out of the gate, and he made a great putt for a bogey, which probably made it feel pretty good. But 9 holes later, hits a terrible tee shot on the par 5, and the ball hit the tree, bounced out in the fairway. He's got to start feeling like maybe things are going his way. And then that birdie putt on 10, where the ball just hung on the lip for almost 12 seconds before it went in the hole.
Yep.
And he had to feel at that point, after Matsuyama had stolen a birdie of his own on that hole, like, all right, maybe this is going to be my day. And normally when his shoulders slump, he starts to lose it, and he never did that on Sunday. He played fantastic golf down the stretch, and that tee shot on 17 into a 221-yard hole with a 7-iron is something he's never going
to
forget.
Gosh, who hit that guy? That's just stupid, okay? You're not supposed to be able to hit it like that. Ryan, you cover golf all the time and are around it. Was there a point in time, and you know Justin Thomas, and not exactly the biggest, you know, he doesn't look like Dustin Johnson in his golf outfit, but was there a point in time with his personality and it, you know, his emotion, that you thought he was going to fold up his tent and go home on Saturday or Sunday?
I thought maybe on Saturday he kind of languished a little bit, and it just seemed like, all right, well, maybe this is Kevin Kisner's time, or even probably more likely Hideki Matsuyama's time. Matsuyama is kind of such an assassin type player,
right,
and he just never seems pleased. He just seems ready to attack and never fully satisfied. I thought that was going to be his day yesterday. And good on Thomas for recognizing who he was playing with in Matsuyama and kind of working to his own benefit. He never really worried about what Matsuyama was doing. Once he got on a roll, he just seemed super confident in every shot. And he executed. And normally, in the course of a round for Justin Thomas, he makes a big mistake, and it usually gets in the way, and it kind of ruins everything else. Kind of like Ricky Fowler does,
right,
actually.
Right.
And he just did not let that happen to him. And meanwhile, everyone else faded around him on a really difficult golf course. I have to say, I think that what he did at the U.S. Open, getting so close near the end and just kind of letting it fade away, really taught him that A, he could contend, and B, what it took to finish off a major championship.
Ryan Ballinger, the golfnewsnet.com, joins us here on the Sean Salisbury Show, talking golf, talking major championships. Justin Thomas gets his first at the PGA tournament, Quail Hollow. I'm curious, what if it would have been, well, I think he bogeyed 18, so he didn't, I mean, he was able to bogey and come in and win, but what if this would have been where he had to make birdie, and he knew it, coming down 16 or 17 or 18, getting to the 18th tee box, and knowing he had to make birdie to win, would we have seen the same nerve we saw and guts we saw without having to birdie the 18th hole?
I think it would have been really difficult for anyone to have birdied the 18th hole the way it was set up throughout the course of the week. It
right.
was just a tough golf course. I don't think you were really going to see anybody in that position if you need a birdie to win, we were going to a three-hole playoff. It was kind of that deal, the way it was playing so tough. If you looked at the course statistics throughout the course of the week, I think they broke it up pretty well. You know, the first six holes were kind of tough. 7 through 15 were gettable. That's where you kind of made your hay. And then you just held on for dear life, 16, 17, and 18. I think if you were, if we were in a situation where it was maybe a one-stroke lead, there was a pretty good chance we would go to a playoff.
Right.
And probably, you know, when we were looking at, what, 5:30, we had five players tied for the lead at 7 under par. It seemed like at that point, a playoff with at least two guys was inevitable. And then, not but 15 minutes later, Justin Thomas was in the lead by himself. That was probably the turn that gave him the championship.
Yeah, and you were talking about some of the spectacular things where he makes a big mistake. He also chips in on 13 from about 40 feet to make birdie. And the key, you know, you think on Sunday, I don't know how these guys do it. I mean, they got the guts and the stones of a burglar, but I don't believe he three-putted one time all Sunday long, which is amazing for his first major in the final round.
Yeah, and with the green speeds they were at, I mean, they were running almost 15 on the stimp meter, and that's about as fast as you can really get them without being unfair. And they have just been redone about 12 months ago. They're still kind of growing into maturity. So everyone was putting really defensively all week. You had a hard time being aggressive. I think that also worked to Justin Thomas's favor. He isn't necessarily the best putter in the universe. So everyone that was kind of going for the Wanamaker, you didn't think of them really as great putters. They were just great ball strikers that figured out how to get the ball closer to the hole than anybody else over the course of four rounds. And for Thomas, I mean, to not have three-putted down the stretch, chip-ins help, great tee shots help, but for him to have not done that at any point and really crush his momentum was very important.
Ryan, were you surprised after round two, now Spieth is so good going for his career Grand Slam, that he said he really didn't have a legitimate chance to win the career Grand Slam at this PGA Championship? Normally, he's a guy who grinds and does it, but he seems like a realist. But any shock, or shock may not be the right word, but surprise that even he said that when he wasn't playing his best golf?
Yeah, I was a little surprised about that. I mean, like you mentioned, Sean, he's just like the kind of guy that seems to grind out 68s from 70s and 70s from 73s and just find his way into contention somehow. I think he knew going into this week, not being the longest or most accurate driver of the golf ball, on a golf course that really demands that, that he was going to be in trouble this week. Playing a 7,600-yard golf course, not being the longest player in the field, certainly is a problem. And he said, what I thought was most curious was that he said it would be most difficult for him to win the PGA Championship of the four majors,
right,
because it's basically set up like a regular PGA Tour event. So that opens up the way for a lot more guys to contend. It kind of creates golf courses that make him feel a little bit uncomfortable at times, especially if you have to go a little bit lower. This wasn't one of those majors, but sometimes you can win a PGA at 16, 17 under par. So for him moving forward, I'm really curious what the PGA will inspire in him in 2018, 2019 as it moves to May. Will it catch him at a time of the year when it starts to move to May when he feels really good about his game because he plays so well at Augusta National? Or will it kind of put additional pressure on him because he plays so well at the Masters? Whatever happens there, how will that influence him moving forward in the major cycle each year?
We've got about 2 minutes left with Ryan Ballingy, golfnewsnet.com. Is McIlroy smart to shut it down the rest of the year? Hadn't been a real good year for him, especially when it comes to the major tournaments.
Yeah, not a good year at all. And this was one of those years I think most people thought going into 2017, this could be a Rory McIlroy kind of year. I mean, you got U.S. Open at Erin Hills, a venue that just rewards great driving. That is Rory McIlroy's greatest skill, and he was atrocious. And then at this venue, where he's won twice on the PGA Tour, you figured this lined up perfectly for him, and it just never really came out that way. I think it would be smart for him to just kind of peel it back, maybe at least take 2 or 3 weeks off. We've got this week, we've got a couple weeks of the PGA Tour playoffs. He is comfortably into the third leg of the playoffs. Take 3 weeks off, see where your back and your rib are. If you feel good, try. And
right,
try and play the BMW Championship and get in to the Tour Championship so he can defend his FedEx Cup title. If he can't, shut it down the rest of the year. Don't worry about the European Tour or anything else. Just get better. Get ready for next year. You got a slate of major venues that aren't necessarily as friendly to him, but they are good ones, and they should favor a guy who's a great ball striker like him. So he needs to get healthy quickly because everyone else around him at the 20-something is playing great golf, and they're ready to pass him.
Okay, last question. We only got about 20 seconds before a hard out, but I got to get your opinion. The best young player in the world we're not talking about in our daily talks. You know, we mentioned the McIlroys and the Days and the in the reads. I mean, is there a guy that we need to keep? Because who do we need to keep an eye on that we don't talk about enough?
I think Daniel Berger is the guy. Had a great little middle stretch of June. He's played great golf this year, and no one has seemingly noticed that he's going to be one of the best golfers in the world for another 15 years. He has a great mentality toward the game, and I think he's got a major in him sooner than later.
Sounds great. Ryan, great stuff, man. We always appreciate you, and we'll call on you again. We appreciate the insight, buddy.
Thanks, Sean.
Thank you. Ryan Ballingy, thegolfnewsnet.com. What? A burger. See what I did there, Seg? I had to go dad joke. That Barrett, that's bad.
What
it? Daniel Berger, that was pretty good.
It's an awful joke.
I thought that was pretty good. We're going to come back. What player can't you afford to lose on your team if you want to get back to the playoffs? And he can't be a quarterback. We'll discuss playoff teams that can't afford the Zeke Elliott type of stuff next.